We thank you for this day that you have made, for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for our church, where we could come and worship the Lord together. And most of all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Speak now, Lord God, because we're listening. Speak a word for us, a word that we could live by, a word of hope and love and peace and joy, a word that could sustain us. Speak, Lord Jesus, because we're listening. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me on the submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are refuge and our strength. Amen. I looked down a while ago as I was thinking, and I saw my, this is not in my sermon, but I saw my big cross. And I thought to myself, you really love to shop, you know. I just said to myself, as it gleamed up at me, because I was at the fair, you know, we had the street fair, and I was behaving myself. I never got up. I was at my table spreading the gospel, wasn't I, Ricky? Spreading the gospel, meeting people, giving out our flyer, and they kept saying to me, you haven't walked around, you haven't? And I said, no, I'm staying because I don't want to shop. I'm going to stay at my table. But towards the end, there was a voice. It is to show that we all yield into temptation. I have to work hard at it. There was a voice that said, go therefore. Go to the tables. And you know I could not resist the voice. And so I went to the tables. And they said it was QVC, QB, whatever. I've never bought from them. And there it is. The cross was just flashing. And so I bought the cross. Wasn't that much. And then I said, why not get a bracelet to go with the cross? So pray for me, church. Pray for me as I seek God. See, now she's telling my secret. And last week we went to a wedding, and I was very good at the wedding, and I went to walk on the beach, and then as I was coming back, I saw a building. It was 9:30 in the morning, and I said, oh, there's a building. I walked into the building, and I end up with this vest. Pray for me, church, please. It's not in the sermon, but I tell you, it's just like, this is going to be what I'm working on, all till I go home to see Jesus. Yes, ma'am. So I tell, and Joni didn't get anything, and so it pray for me. It is to show you that we all have things to work on, isn't it? Now, did I think I was going to say this today? No, but you are my confessor. I'm confessing to you. I'm not even Roman Catholic. But I am confessing to you all that prayer, we are all working on something. And today my sermon title is The Law of Abundance versus the Law of Scarcity. The Law of Abundance says there is plenty on this earth for everyone. It leads to a given disposition because you are not worried about running out of resources. Our inner landscape mirrors our outer landscape. If we believe in lack, we experience lack. If we believe in abundance, we will experience abundance. This is a spiritual law. So in other words, there's a law of abundance in the universe, and it is there for all of us to use at all times. All we have to do is truly believe in the overflowing good, and we will receive and create it in our lives. And then there's the opposing law of scarcity. When you view the world through this window, you hold on to everything. You take what you can get because if you don't, someone else will get it. And so you just hold on to it and you believe that there's not enough to go around when thinking this way. This is where our text will bring us today, and I want to just share with you something I observed last week. You know, we have a lovely church. And sometimes we forget that it is a lovely church. It is in relatively good shape. You know, it's in relative for a big building. And I mean the building itself. In essence, we are the church, we the people. But now I'm talking about the edifice. It is in relatively good shape, kept in good shape by many who serve here, the trustee and all the folks who serve. And so I was here, and you know, I had a gentleman came down from the conference, my colleague who's in charge of revitalization, and he came down and he looked and he walked around, and we were talking about some ministry things, which you'll hear about at another time. But because I am chair of the parish development for the conference, there's people who are needing help, churches will send application in. So I had an appointment with another church, and I wanted to bring him to show this church. And this church is in Bayshore. And you once you do something out of the norm, you start realizing how blessed you are. I went to the Bayshore United Methodist Church. It is in the heart of Bayshore on Main Street. And if you look at the statistics, the community demographics, you know, Bayshore could go from millionaires to very poor folks. It's a very strange, you drive out of the wonderful where the boats are, in 2 minutes you're in a section where the houses look so bad. And this is a beautiful old church on the outside, but in essence it's an eyesore now. It was, the congregation started 205 years ago, and the church itself was built in 1831 or 1869. And as you drive up and you see the church, a beautiful edifice, you could see the architecture because it's now been deemed a historical site. All the outside is just peeling. It's an eyesore for Methodism. Needs work, lots of work on the outside. And this pastor is believing that, you know, they need $350,000, whatever it is. But everything, it's peeling on the outside. And so we walked into the sanctuary. Beautiful old sanctuary with stained glass. But it's made of, inside, pressed tin that has to be treated. It's that kind of tin because it's all that has to be treated. And over the years, I guess, with humidity and all of that, and they just paint over it, it is peeling. And as you walked into the sanctuary, you have to take your breath because it's all black spots peeling. Just, you could see where it's peeled all over, and it looks unhealthy. And I stood there, and they're full of ministry, wanting to go forth and wanting to do things. 4 years ago, they opened up a daycare, and they run into some financial stuff, but now it's all in their own. But I stood there, and here she was with the energy, trying to say, we're going to do it. And there was one trustee guy who had grown up in that church, and he says, we need to do this. They need a new roof. That's going to be $81,000. Because it's one of those churches with, you know, the steeple. You could see the church steeple from anywhere, everywhere at Bayshore. It's real high, but it's going to be a lot of money. And I stood there, and I believe, here we are in this church. We're in relatively very good shape when we look at our building. We have an abundance in comparison to that church. Smaller worshiping congregation, much smaller budget than ours now. And the church inside, we recommended to her, myself and my colleague. I says, I can't bring this proposal. You got to do something else. I says, you got to stop worshiping in the sanctuary because people won't stay. Literally, things fall because of the thing. And I thought, here is situation where one could think there is such scarcity because it doesn't look good. Yet she's holding on to trying to do ministry, the pastor, with the people. And this one trustee with her, at that time there were two of them, but we got there a little bit late. And I thought, here we have abundance. We at Hicksville have abundance. Are we millionaires? No. But we sit in a building that looks so grand, so good in comparison, right? We've got a social hall that may need a little work, but it looks good in comparison to what these people are worshiping in because they don't have the fun. And if we don't watch it, we here could live as if we're living under scarcity. We have to realize our blessings and stop living as if we have nothing. Stop living as if we have nothing here, and with what we have, do something great for God. Are you with me, church? Come on now. I stood in that place and tears came to my eyes because your people worshiping in a place where the condition is deplorable. when you look up at the ceiling and you think about it. And we should not have an attitude of scarcity here. We have been blessed of the Lord, those who have come before and have kept this place and those who are continuing to keep it. And we ought to be doing new things to keep it going because we have an abundance. Abundance doesn't just mean money we have in the bank. It's an abundance of spirit to know that God can and God will. Church, to know, I feel for that pastor who I'm now praying with and who I'm now going to be counseling, who we're going to be working together as a team from the conference to see what we could do. Maybe they'll have to sell the building and because they may not be able to maintain it. But we have got to go out of our comfort zone, church, and see what other people right here in this state, in this on Long Island, some of the churches that people are worshiping the Lord in Methodist Church, and then rejoice because of what we have. Because we're blessed here. Rejoice. There are pastors who don't get paid sometimes. Churches can't find. I get paid since I've been here. Rejoice in what we have. Rejoice in what the blessing that the Lord has given. Stop. We have got to take off that negative cloak and put on the cloak of positivity and rejoice. Don't waste our time gossiping. Gossiping is a waste of time. It saps your energy. You make up stories about things that are not true. Begin to rejoice. We read in the Gospel of Matthew today, we see two thoughts. We see abundance, the law of abundance, and the law of scarcity working hand in hand in the gospel narrative. The Bible tells us that when Jesus got the news, he slipped away by boat on an out-of-the-way place by himself. Jesus was a prayer, you know, prayed all the time. When he wanted to think, he stepped away by himself all the time. You got to do that. Constantly talking to people don't help. Because they just make you think you have nothing when you have a lot more. I'm telling you, I'm going to get you all in a bus and I'm going to drive you around some of these churches so you could start appreciating the wonderful gift God has given you here and continue. Let's drive from place to place and I'll show you some place, Methodist place right here in New York. New York State, that are worshiping God every Sunday and the conditions they're worshiping God in, you don't have to go to Africa to see it. You don't have to go to South America. And then we will begin to live a life of abundance. But someone, Jesus was trying to hide from the folks and someone saw him. Some folks saw him and they came around. Soon a lot more people came, the Bible says, from the villages. And they walked around the lake where he was. And when he saw them coming, he was overcome with pity and he healed the sick. Jesus never turned anybody away. So he healed the sick even though he wanted rest. And toward the evening, the disciples approach him and says, "We are out in the country and it's getting late." Now hear what they were going, hear what they said. They had been with Jesus. Jesus who had been healing the sick. They must know that he has the power to provide food. You know, there are folks in the church who are always telling you what you can't do. Right? What you can't do. They never tell you what you can do or what we can do together. They always tell you what you can't do. That's the law of scarcity. The law of scarcity is not in the Bible. There's not one scripture in the Bible about the law of scarcity. Not one. But there's a lot of scriptures in the Bible about the law of abundance. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength, who strengthens me. One of the scriptures. I can do all things through Christ. The law of abundance. And so what did they say? What did the disciples say? Did they say, "Preacher, you know, to Jesus, Rabbi, Rabboni, can you figure out some way we could get some food?" No, they didn't say that. They said, "Dismiss the people. Dismiss all these hungry people." They knew that they had been there for a long time. They had come for the Passover. They were there. They were coming for healing. They knew that they were the ones of Jesus who were following Jesus who were not the money people. They were ordinary, average people with their babies and children. They knew it. Dismiss the people so they could go to the villages and get some supper. They said, didn't know that they didn't have any money or they needed money. Didn't care. That's what the law of scarcity does. You look at your situation and say, no, immediately. Dismiss them. We can't do this in the church. Let's not do it. You can't. It's going to cause all of this. But Jesus said, listen, church, there's a word for us this morning. There is no need to dismiss them. No need to dismiss them because I am the Savior of the world, he was saying in that sentence. I am the bread of life, he was saying. He's the bread of life yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's unchanging. Huh? He's not the bread of life today, you know, for them, and for us he's not. He's the provider. He says, do not dismiss them. You give them supper. And here comes the negative statement. All we have are 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. All we have. And Matthew Gospel tells us, Jesus said, bring them here. He's trying to show us that when we bring what we have with a grateful and thankful heart, he will turn it around. We serve a God who can turn things around. I am not spending my time. I don't want to spend my time with people who want to tell me what I can't do. Because I know what I can't do. I know it well. I want to spend time with people who could say, with this we could probably do this. Let me help. Maybe we could try this. Let me help. This is how you should live your lives, my friends. Jesus says, bring them here. And then he had the people sit on the grass. And here comes the miracle of the 5,000. Whether it's a true story or it's a metaphor or whatever it may be, whatever it is, there's a lesson in it for us. That when we bring something to God, he could do something with it greater than we could ever think or imagine. That's what the scripture said. That's a lesson. Whether you think it's an allegory or a metaphor or just nice stories that we like these stories because it gives us hope. There's enough depression in the world. We just have to put the news on. Jesus said, bring it here. And then he told the people to sit. And then the Bible says, he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, lifted his face to heaven in prayer, blessed, broke, and gave the bread to the disciples. And guess what happened? While he's doing that, while he did the blessing, that's why we go to God in prayer. When we give him what we have, when we ask him to touch it and bless it, guess what? He opens up the windows of heaven, right? While he's praying, the Bible says what? It just multiplied. Can't you just see it? How 5 loaves of bread become 50,000 pieces of bread. Glory to God this morning. It just multiplied. Don't you all get excited when you read the gospel sometimes? I need this to be excited because I'm running this race till the end. Some days when I hear things, I need this for myself. Just says, yes, God, I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't know what's going to happen. But I am trusting in you, God Almighty. You are the God of the 5,000 loaves and fish. Oh, glory to God. Bible says they broke. And then he took the 2 fish and he blessed it. And the whole thing became like the Atlantic Sea, ocean. Oh, come on now. Fish everywhere. People ate and burped and ate again and came back for seconds. Do you understand? And enough to take home. This is our God of abundance, the law of abundance. Everybody ate until they were filled, the Bible says, and they gathered 12. And guess what? We have leftovers. When we pray to God and seek his face and do what the Lord says, we'll have leftovers to bless another little church somewhere. Don't you want to have leftovers in this church to bless another little church somewhere? Oh, glory to God. Don't we want to have leftovers so we could say, you know, we are doing well here and there's a little church who may need a couple of hymnals or a couple of Bibles. We could purchase a couple of Bibles for them because there are Methodist churches that are struggling somewhere or other churches that are struggling somewhere. The law of abundance. And there's about 5,000 men who were fed and the women and children. You see, before we can taste abundance, we have to be in right relationship with Jesus. We've got to know God and we've got to trust him and we've got to seek him in prayer. Jesus did that. He would go, he could do the miracle he did because the Bible told us earlier that he went away by himself and he went away by himself to what? To pray. To get the strength to do what he was going to do. Jesus had a clear mind And he was going to show the disciples that you're going to have to not live by your flesh, but live by your spirit. The spirit of God. Right? Sometimes, church, you may think I'm a little bit crazy, but it's all right. I'm crazy for Jesus. As long as they're not coming with the right jacket to take me away, it's okay to be crazy. Because I believe in him. I believe fully and completely in Jesus Christ. I believe in the power of the gospel to change lives. I'm not kidding you. I believe this thing. Right? And I'm living this thing. Without Jesus, I'd be nowhere. Without Jesus, I'd be sitting in a little beach in the Caribbean drinking coconut water. Lovely as it is. You know what I'm saying. But with him, we're trusting in him. He has made the impossible possible. Is there anything too hard for God, the prophet said? Is there anything too difficult for God? No, there isn't. When you believe, church, we have abundance here. We got clean pews we could sit on. And last time I look up at this beautiful ceiling, nothing is falling down. The only thing I'm hoping is falling down is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What a blessing that is, right? Come, Holy Spirit. Come with all of your quickening power. Come on us and light us on fire here. Oh, glory to God. And we'll have the day of Pentecost again. Oh, bless his name. And so we're trusted in him. You see, living a life of abundance says, we need to have an abundance mentality. First point. Abundance mentality says there is enough for everyone. By having an abundance mentality, you won't feel envy when someone else succeeds. You know that you can have your own success. We don't have to be envious of Joel Osteen and the big TV thing. We don't have to waste our time. You don't have to be, you know, people are so envious of other people's ministry and what they do. You know, and they want to have what you're doing. Yet they don't want to go through the pain you went through or whatever it may be. Right? You don't have to be abundant. Says God bless you when you succeed. Because when you succeed, that means the same God who bless you is the same God who will what? Bless me. Right? Don't waste your energy being envious and being critical. Kill the critical spirit. It's a waste of time. People will come to critique. I keep telling you. We need to start critiquing ourselves first. So we want to be positive. Number two, be grateful for what you have. We need to look at what we already have and be grateful for them instead of complaining for the things we don't have. Now, are we grateful for what we have here? I am telling you, church, please be grateful. Take it from me. I've gone to a lot of churches. Some of them, let me tell you, you're going up crooked steps, you can't even get up. Benches not painted. Good Christian saints have been in those churches for years, but have gone home to be with the Lord, and some of them have died out. Community has changed. This is a clean place. You come in. Isn't it clean? The bathrooms are clean. Relative there, you know, we could sit down, we could enjoy. Big building, we've got a gym. You know what happened yesterday? We had the fire alarm came on. The fire alarm came on and it starts ringing. I was here, just three of us. Ron was here. And some had a fire alarm, and then the phone start ringing. They said, get out of the building, get out of the building. And I says, I got to get out of the building. Right? So we start running out of the building. And then I said, I got to go back and get my phone. Because I know y'all have been there, but I have to go right back and get my phone because I need to hold my phone because I have to go back. You know, the phone is important. So, just in case, the place is burning, but just in case somebody wants to talk to me. So I said to Ron, and they're warning us, out of the building, out of the building. Leave now. You know, a loudspeaker comes on because, so I said, Ron, I got to run back in for my phone. So I run back in for my phone. Good thing I did because they were calling me from the alarm company, but I needed my phone, so you understand, so they were calling me, and I said, she says, Pastor, you know, because I am first in line on that thing, I think you may be, Carl may be the next in line, so they said, is there, I says, no, there's not a fire, but the alarms are going off, but they hear it,
So anyway, the gentleman come, and I'm going to wrap up the story. He came in, she says, we already called the fire company, they're on their way. And you all have to be outside. But Ron is running around trying to figure out what it is inside. And I'm saying, Ron, they'll give you, you got to come out, they'll give you a fine. Oh, Helen was here. Helen was doing the communion. And I says, everybody outside. So the fire marshal came. The two of them, they went to the box and took the noise off because it was making a noise. And guess what happened? When we found out, they went to the gym. They know the area because they told me it was the gym and the general. You know those helium balloon, like for happy birthday and so on? One of them got up into the beam in the gym. It must have moved around and is blocking the beam. Right? That was it. The firemen came. Yes, and it was when the kids, you know, I think had the daycare, they had their thing. And so, folks, no helium balloon in that gym, please. Or here. So anyway, the two firemen, and Gilly says to say hi to you. I wrote his name down. The fireman. I wrote his name. Because he came in and after he got done and the two of them came, they're the chief. Chief something. You knew his father when he was a boy. He gave me the whole story. But anyway, he said, you know what he said? He looked and he said, after everything got done, and I says, can we come back in? And he said, yes. And they took. He says, this is a nice gym. Can we use it? The fire guy. I says, yes, you can. I says, the first time you come, it would be for free, but the next time you'll have to pay. But we offered it to them because here's the gist of my story. He looked around and thought, this is a great looking gym in a church. We have something to offer, right? Because we have a blessing. So he gave me his number. He says, put it in with your phone and call me and we'll set up some things that are going to be used in the gym. You understand? So we are blessed with an abundance of things here. And we want to keep it the same way. Right? And now, as I close the Genesis story, Jacob saw the opportunity. Jacob would meet God as he crossed the Jabbok. Came face to face with the angel of God, the Bible said. And he knew he was in the presence of the Holy One. And he held on and he says, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. Ah, bless me, Lord. Church, we are not letting go because God has blessed us and he's going to keep blessing us. But while we're holding on until he blesses us, we got to be about the business of doing something. Because we know he has blessed us in the past. And I'm holding on to God. Let me tell you, you cannot tear me off God. I'm holding on to him until he continues to bless us. Bless us so that we could continue. We must live a life of abundance, church. Every now and then we have to realize that there are people much worse off than we are. It's not just word, it's truth. In our own personal life and in our church. And when we realize that, then we're thankful. And then we have got a new spirit. So church, when you're walking around here, I want you to be looking and says, oh, thank you, Lord, for this church. I like coming to the service. I like to hear the music, to hear whatever. Thank you that I could come and fellowship. Thank you for that people not at the door beating us up. Thank you we could come on in and it's clean. Thank you that I have a place to give off my gifts and my talents and my resources to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us not be like the disciples and want to dismiss, but let us be like Jesus to say, no, let them sit. And I will feed them. Let them sit, and I will feed them. And so when I went to Bayshore, pray for that church like many of the other ones, I realized how blessed I am to be serving this congregation. And I know that because I've been around a congregation that is holding its own and that is looks well. And that can yet do greater things in the name of Jesus Christ. I said to my colleague, Reverend Gilmore, I thank God for where I am at this point in time. Thank God in comparison to what she's facing, my colleague. Thanks be to God for our church. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for all of you who serve, who give, who come, who keep this place going so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can be spread throughout the community, so that men and women and boys and girls could know that Jesus still lives. Amen.